I hope these lessons have been helpful and will continue to be helpful as we live in challenging times with lots of challenging questions about our faith. We'll look at some more helps tonight. 1 Corinthians 15, notice verse number 17. Paul the Apostle says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." So that would be the outcome if Christ never rose from the dead. We would still be dead in our sins. There would be no hope of forgiveness. If all our hope is in Christ, we would be absolutely hopeless. And those who have died believing would also be hopeless and without hope. Verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." So tonight we are going to look at the evidence for Christ's resurrection, the evidence for his resurrection, and what we can share with people who ask us whether he really rose from the dead. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth. No matter what people say, no matter what history, geography, or archaeology discovers even, Lord, we know that no truth opposes your word. We thank you, Father, that we can know that there are truths in the world and there are proofs. And Lord, thank you for helping us to be encouraged, Lord, to have an answer to those who ask. Lord, give us help, give us wisdom as we look at your word, at statements of fact also, and quotes from historians. Help us, Lord, to remember some of these things that we may speak to someone this week about our risen Saviour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the resurrection, if there's any topic that's the number one opposed, criticized fact about Christianity, it is this: the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because it's the resurrection of Christ that separates the Lord Jesus from every other religious teacher, religious leader, and proves that his claims as God are true. Because if Christ did rise from the dead, everything he said, including his resurrection, is true. Every word is confirmed. Every promise is confirmed. In fact, salvation requires someone to believe in the resurrected Savior. Romans chapter number 10. You know, you must believe that he rose from the dead. And that's why we have hope of eternal life, because he is risen. We know that not only can we call upon him as Savior, but because he conquered death, we are risen with him. We know that the moment of our death, we will be risen with him in eternity. But we are risen already in Jesus Christ as in our salvation. Our soul is safe with him. We are safe in Christ because he is risen. So it's no surprise that the resurrection is attacked. It's no surprise that people ask questions about the resurrection of Christ and mock his resurrection. Paul says, if Christ was not raised, then our faith is vain. That's why people attack the resurrection, because they know if they can prove he did not rise, then our faith is false. Christianity is false altogether. And Jesus Christ and the Bible, we could say, fall and rise upon the truth of the resurrection. So we're going to spend a couple of sessions on looking at this topic. Many will ask, well, did he really rise from the dead? How do you know that? How can you prove he rose from the dead? Well, the Bible tells us that there are many infallible proofs of Christ's resurrection. And there in your notes, the answer that you can give is that the resurrection is one of the best documented events of ancient history. And that is a fact. It is one of the best documented events of ancient history. Now, that's a bold statement, but it's a factual one. You know, the Bible is the greatest proof of the resurrection, but it's not the only proof. You know, Christ's resurrection was not just a fairy tale, made up by religious groups. No, he rose from the dead. A historical factual event. Just as Jesus Christ, as we've already seen in this series, was a real historical person, his resurrection also is a historical fact. And one commentator said this, there in your notes, I put that quote, let it simply be said that we know more about the details of the hours immediately before and the actual death of Jesus in and near Jerusalem than we know about the death of any other one man in all the ancient world. That's how much has been written about Christ. That's how many eyewitnesses were present at his resurrection. So when someone says, well, I don't believe he rose again from the dead, you can just simply tell them, well, did you know it's one of the best documented parts of history that we have today? There are no better proven facts about any other religious leader or anyone in the ancient world that are recorded and more detailed as the details of Christ's resurrection. So we're going to look at some of those evidences tonight. First of all, the evidence of the gospel accounts. The evidence of the gospel accounts. Remember, the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are eyewitness accounts of the life of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. So your blank is the word gospel. Your first blank is the word gospel. The evidence of the gospel accounts. Those who witness Christ's resurrection were telling the truth. They didn't make it up. They weren't embellishing. They were simply recording what they had seen and also believed. Now, there is great detail in the accounts. You know, if someone says, I don't believe he rose from the dead, if they're really genuinely wanting to know more, then let me encourage you to share with them some of the details of what took place. Just open up the back of the book of Luke or the end of the book of, you know, Matthew, and just read to them what it says. You know, great details are given. Very specific details are given. That these are not just made up generalities. These are details that an eyewitness recorded. Very specifically, you know, for example, the running of the disciples to the tomb. The fact that John got there first and he stopped at the entrance. He stooped down, he looked in, but it was Peter who first went in. Those are very specific details. Those are not made up stories. And Peter was more bold. He went in and he saw the way that the garment of the Lord was laid and the linen napkin, how it was laid flat and how it was positioned, and all the details and all the description are very specific. You know, if someone wanted to make up something, the less specific they are, and they'd know that, the better. Because if one detail was wrong, then it would be proven to be a lie. But the very fact that there's so much eyewitness details given in the gospel accounts, and four of them, therefore, there's an overwhelming amount of evidence that could be proved to be wrong if it was wrong. And none of them have been proved to be wrong. They are all accurate and detailed. And you can think of the scene of the empty grave and the empty tomb detailed in the Gospels. And they can be nothing more than the details of someone who was there. You know, if you were to write down a detailed account of a certain event, you would give everything you saw, everything that happened, and you'd write it down because you were there. But if someone wasn't there and it was all made up, it would be easily proven to be false. So consider the detail of the accounts in the Gospels. There are no errors. None have been proven even after 2,000 years. Amen. Now consider the honesty as well. The honesty of the accounts. Now there's no blanks coming up yet. The honesty of the accounts. Now when someone writes something about a religious leader, or if someone wanted to invent a religion and glorify the leaders of that religion, they would have painted, they do, and in fact, paint everything in a good light. You know, even though there are things about religious leaders that are factual and historical that paint them in a bad light, if you read the books of those religious leaders, you'll see that there's nothing written, everything is that's written about them is good. You know, they didn't claim to be God, but they claimed to be a prophet of God or a teacher of God or sent from God. And they didn't do anything wrong. They were perfect. But consider the account of those who witnessed Jesus Christ. The gospel paints a very different picture about the founders of Christianity, about the witnesses of the resurrection. I mean, Peter was rebuked by Christ as Satan in Matthew chapter 16. Peter denied Christ three times as well. The disciples fled and hid. Thomas doubted even after he heard about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here's an interesting point, and I put it in your notes, because that was already a little bit of a repeat of what we've already learned. But furthermore, if these disciples wanted to invent a new religion and make up the resurrection of Christ, they would not have stated that it was women that arrived at the tomb first.
Yeah, that's right.
Why do we know that? Because think of the Jewish culture of the day. What rights did women have?
Yeah.
None. None at all. In fact, in a legal setting, a woman could not even act as a witness. And yet they recorded the facts of the Gospels that women arrived first. Why would they do that? Why would they do that if they wanted to create their own religion? I think that's a great statement, isn't it? Because women had no rights. They wrote that down and accounted for it because that was the truth. Women were the last at the cross and the first at the tomb. Says something about the boldness of women, amen? That's right. So that's a fact. The account of women believing is not the first thing that someone would have written unless it actually happened and it was wholeheartedly the truth. So the gospel accounts in their detail and in their honesty prove that they are real eyewitness accounts. You know, if you want to make up a religion, you would do it very differently. And in fact, as you look at different books of different religions, there are so many generalities, no specific details that line up with history. It's all a bunch of, you know, fairy tales and myths, especially in the in Hinduism particularly. If you look at what they write, it's just a myth. It's just mythology. It's just fairy tales, fantasies. The earth being carried on the backs of elephants, and when the elephants move, that's what creates earthquakes. You know, and it's just nonsense. You know, but the Bible is true, and the Bible is detailed. So let me encourage you, if someone asks you about the evidence for the resurrection, ask them if they know about the detailed eyewitness accounts in the Gospels. And share some of these things. Challenge them about the fact that they just don't know what the Bible says. Now, there in your notes, the evidence of the empty tomb. So on the second page, the evidence of the empty tomb. Your word is the blank empty. So the empty tomb, amen, proves that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And 2,000 years later, the world can still not provide a body. And there's the question, where is the body? Someone asks, why do you believe in the resurrection? And you can say many things, and you can ask them, well, do you realize that Christ's body has never been discovered? And his body is the number one body in the world that anyone would ever want to discover. Why? Because Christianity has changed the world and has been more opposed than any other faith in the world. And so the empty tomb. Well, how do we know that there's some evidence there? Well, first of all, the Jewish leaders had to invent a lie that the disciples stole the body. They had to invent that lie, and we know that they did in Matthew chapter 28. You see, if Jesus' body was somewhere, they would have found it. They searched for it. They wanted to find the body to make sure, remember, that Christianity did not spread. At all costs, they wanted to find the body of Christ. And secondly, just weeks after the crucifixion, only a stone's throw from the empty tomb, Peter publicly proclaimed the gospel, publicly preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that 3,000 believed. 3,000 believed, and also including a great number of priests and a great number more. Now, if anyone could have produced the body or come up with a reasonable account for it being missing, they would have. They would have. And so, the empty tomb and Christ's missing body proves that he rose from the dead. And every theory proposed in the world has proven to be false against the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every single theory has been proven to be false and can clearly be proven to be false. And here's just a few that some people will say, and certain heretics and atheists have just believed these foolish lies. And here's one. Some say Jesus just fainted on the cross. And then in the tomb, because it was so cool, and that coolness revived his body, and he woke up. So he didn't die on the cross, and then in the tomb he woke up. And so he didn't rise from the dead. Yes, he did walk out of the tomb alive, but, you know, he didn't die on the cross. Well, of course, that's a foolish statement. You know, crucifixion was, and again, because we don't understand history very well, we're not able to, ignorant, you know, ignorant people just don't understand the method of death of crucifixion.
Right.
It was the death penalty. And you don't put someone to death and wonder whether they die. That's ridiculous. Does that happen today? No, if they don't die the first time, then they add more injection, more electricity, or whatever they do to make sure they die. There's no such thing, especially in the Roman Empire. This was their pleasured form of execution. They prided themselves in crucifixion to inflict the greatest suffering, the greatest humility, and the greatest fear upon those who witnessed the crucifixion. And the Roman soldiers were bound at the very stake of their own lives to make sure that one was dead. So we know that they thrust a spear in the Lord's side, and out came blood and water, indicating his heart had stopped. There was no more circulation. Blood and water came out, very detailed in the gospel accounts. And if he really didn't die, it would be impossible for someone who is near dead to remove the stone from the tomb, from the inside of the tomb. Would have been impossible. Consider the, you know, you could tell them, consider the injuries that he sustained during the severe beating. The Bible tells us they couldn't even recognize him as a man following the lashing. That's how torn his body was. That's how much blood he lost on the way to the cross. His nails nails pierced his hands and his feet. He wouldn't have been able to stand. And then, of course, the spear in his side. So great loss of blood. It would have been impossible, medically impossible, and medically proven to be absolutely ridiculously false. So if someone says that, again, try to control your temper, amen? Because it's so foolish. We can get a bit upset. Someone can be so ridiculously convinced, but encourage them that, look, that's just a foolish lie from those who don't want to believe in the facts. Medically proven, he could never have survived the cross. And he didn't. Now, point B, some say the women went to the wrong tomb. Well, there's a new one. You know, the women went to the wrong tomb. They must have ran excitedly, and because it was dark and it was the sun was just coming up, and, you know, they were so emotional, of course, you know, they were emotional, and that's right, they were women. And so they went to the wrong tomb. All right, let's leave it at that. They went to the wrong tomb, okay? Now, some people believe that. Some people believe that was true, and they say, well, that's reasonable. That's fair enough. Kirsoff Lake, in his book, The Historical Evidence for the Resurrection of Jesus Christ, claims that they were confused in the dark and they went to the wrong tomb. This is a real belief. This is a real belief. Now, not only is this contrary to what the eyewitness accounts tell us, and what we talked about is, you know, about the Jewish role of women and how the gospel writers would never have included them if they made it up, but the disciples were not stupid. Amen? All right, they were first at the tomb, but the disciples were second at the tomb. Is that right? The disciples weren't stupid. They knew which tomb the Lord was in, and they would have checked out the details of the story, especially because each and every one of them gave their lives for the faith of the resurrected Christ. Each and every one of them suffered, and most of them died. Deaths for the faith, and they would not have given up their lives for the testimony of a few geographically challenged women. They wouldn't have done that.
No, they wouldn't have.
You know, they doubted, and they went to see the facts for themselves. And so that is a ridiculous idea. And here's another thought. If that were true, then the Jewish leaders would have found the right tomb and said, look, there he is in the same tomb. You went to the wrong tomb. No, they never found the body. Why? Because Christ rose again. Amen? Amen. Point number C, some say the disciples were hallucinating. Now again, it sounds ridiculous, but this is a genuine argument against the resurrection. They believe that there was a mass hallucination, that as a group, the disciples really did see him, but it was a vision. It was a dream. It was a hallucination. Now, if they were hallucinating, you can say, if they were, then it would have been a mass hallucination. Because the Bible tells us not only did the disciples witness Christ's resurrection, but up to 500 brethren at once. There were more than 500. There were more than the disciples. Remember, how long was Christ risen from the dead upon the earth after his resurrection? 40 days. Not just a few. 40 days he walked upon the earth in his resurrected body and showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. 500 at once. So if it was a hallucination, well, it would have been a mass hallucination. 500 at once. And when you look at the disciples, you know, they weren't idiots. They may have been simple. They may have been fishermen. You know, they may have been men from all walks of life, but they were not foolish. They were not foolish. One author observes that if you took those 500 witnesses and you put them into a courtroom and you gave them 6 minutes to give a eyewitness testimony, including cross-examination, you would have over 50 hours of first-hand witness testimony of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Now add to this testimony many other eyewitnesses and you would have the largest and most lopsided trial in history. The largest and most lopsided trial in history. There is huge amounts of evidence. So for 500 people to hallucinate at once, well, that's impossible. That's impossible. For one person, maybe. But not the amount of witnesses. So when someone say the disciples were hallucinating, basically they're saying, look, that's all the people I believe saw him. Well, there were many others. That's the point. There were many others, not just the disciples. And it would have been a mass hallucination. And look, Christianity flourished. Why? Because of the resurrected Christ. Because he did rise from the dead. Now, lastly, some say they saw someone disguised as Jesus. I personally have never heard this one before. But Hugh Schoenfield wrote a book called The Passover Plot. And he said that Christ did not rise from the dead. The disciples saw someone that looked like him. It was very similar in appearance. And they were fooled. They were conned. Someone thought, hey, this would be a great joke. And they dressed up as Christ, made themselves look like Christ. And he fooled the world, this imposter. So that's how Christianity, you can see how that would be easily believed among atheists today. You know, those who hate Christianity. But if you think about it, again, it's a ridiculous idea. How long did the disciples spend with the Lord Jesus Christ?
3 years.
That's right, after he rose from the dead, but 3 years. 3 years they spent personal time living, eating. They went where he went. They did what he told them to do. They followed him. And they were his disciples. So having spent 3 years with Jesus, wouldn't the disciples recognize him? Wouldn't they recognize him? They might be confused for a moment or even a short while, but eventually they would see that this person was an imposter. So again, another ridiculous idea. And we won't waste any more time on that. Foolish statement. But people will make foolish statements, sometimes because they really believe it, or sometimes because they've read it somewhere. They've read it in a book. They picked up something off the bookshelf and they go, ah, finally, there's the proof. There's the proof that someone dug up. And we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared because the facts are here. The Word of God, the detailed eyewitness accounts, and of course, the supernatural Word of God. Let me encourage you to share the truth with those because the tomb is empty and there is no evidence found against the resurrection of Christ. Why? Because Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So don't be ashamed of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the power. That's the message that we've been called to declare. And we'll enjoy more helps next Wednesday, as we look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But store these away and trust this as a good little resource to look back to when someone asks a question. Remember, if you don't remember any of these things straight away, if they don't come to mind, it's okay. Let them know, hey, if it's someone at work, let them know, hey, I'll get back to you. And if you need something printed out, or if you want to give something to them, come and see us, and we know where we can get some resources as well to hand to someone to give them to read something as well.